You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest Locked On crossover special here on the Locked On NFL channel, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I am your host, Evan Stattery of Locked On Colts, joined by Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings here to preview this week two matchup, a very evenly paced matchup, I think, on both sides of the field here, Luke, between the Colts and the Vikings. The home opener for the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. There will be 2,500 fans in attendance for this one. First off, Luke, how are you doing today, and what's your instant thoughts on this matchup? Because I think it's going to be a really good one.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. As good as you can expect for an 0-1 team going up against another desperate 0-1 team. Obviously, 0-2 is that like kiss of death you never want to see. Headed into this one, I'm really intrigued about this matchup, especially because there's some old friends on the other side of the ball. And I'm excited to kind of get in and break it down. You know, it was a really tough matchup to go up against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers playing at his best. So I'm interested to kind of take on a new team that I'm less familiar with.
Yeah, this Colts team definitely shocking loss down in Jacksonville, a team who everyone thought was going to be tanking for Trevor Lawrence. Gardner Minshew went 19 of 20 in that game, and they're trying to bounce back here against this Vikings team, like you mentioned, who's also desperate for a win here on the road in Indianapolis. Let's start off the show. We're going to hit on the Vikings first, Luke, then we'll transition into the Colts talk with you, as well as closing with some predictions on this game as well, which I think is going to be a really fun one here. Let's start off here with the Vikings, where, like you mentioned, they lost 43-34, and I feel like, honestly, the score, they got a couple late scores there to make it a little bit closer. But what was your impression of that game where it looked like Aaron Rodgers just picked apart that young secondary?
Yeah, that's the case right there. Aaron Rodgers picked apart the young secondary. The game is not as close as the score would indicate. It was pretty much a blowout up and down the field. So we're all kind of licking our wounds. We're looking at the cornerbacks, looking at what went wrong, and more importantly, is that going to keep going wrong, or is this just some like one-time fluke, or was it just something special Aaron Rodgers did? And my take on it is that what the Packers did is with a very, very quick passing attack, Aaron Rodgers got the ball out of his hands really, really fast and neutralized a whole bunch of blitzes. And the wide receivers won very, very fast against the cornerbacks. And the cornerbacks were always going to be a bit of a question mark headed into the season. You know, we talked about that when we did a crossover back in the offseason. But I don't think we expected them to be this bad. And I kind of think it's going to be hard for other teams to replicate what the Packers did. It required perfection from them on a whole bunch of fronts. So if you can do that, if you can get the ball out quickly, and if you can win off the line of scrimmage quickly, yeah, you can beat the Vikings. And that's doable, but that's really, really hard.
Yeah, when you also look at this Vikings team, of course, missing Danielle Hunter, Yannick Ngakoue is still getting acclimated to this defense as well. Are you worried, at least on the Colts front, going against this team that really makes its heyday in the trenches? You have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Phillip Rivers is a very smart quarterback, very efficient when he has time. Did not get sacked last week. It's 34-44 as well. He had those two interceptions that were costly for this Colts team. But if he has time, he can pick apart a team a little bit on defense. Do you feel like maybe that could be an encore performance for this defense if they allow Rivers to have some time?
I'm definitely a little concerned about that. Here's the deal with the pressure, though. A lot of that was neutralized by quick passes. I think there's something like Aaron Rodgers had the most passes under 2 seconds in the league in week one. He got rid of the ball unbelievably quickly, and it neutralized a ton of pressure. And what would otherwise be like noted as pass rush wins kind of were rendered irrelevant. You also have Yannick Ngakoue, who is still acclimating to the offense or to the defense. But each week is going to get a little bit easier there. Of course, you guys are super familiar with Ngakoue, having played in the AFC South for all that time. So I would expect that he gets better as the season goes on. Fadi Odenigbo is the other starter opposite Ngakoue right now with Danielle Hunter out. I thought he was going to be a starter for most of the season until the Ngakoue trade, and I was actually fine with that. I think he can be a good player. He had a decent game against the likes of like David Bakhtiari. And again, it was just that he didn't have a lot of time to get home because the ball was out so quickly every time. I'm more worried about the interior. I mean, Quentin Nelson's going to kick the crap out of like Shamar Stephen and Jaleel Johnson. That's a wild mismatch. So getting pressure up the interior is going to be really difficult. But Mike Zimmer and Dom Capers, who's a defensive assistant coach right now, Those are two of the most dynamic blitz designers in the league. So I don't think if the Vikings are smart, this won't come down to mano a mano, you know, Quentin Nelson versus Jaleel Johnson. That's not going to be a matchup that they can win. They're going to have to come up with some interesting blitz packages to kind of manufacture some pressure on Phillip Rivers. And I think that's kind of similar to what they did last time they played Phillip Rivers, which actually was last year in week 15, when he was on the Chargers, they managed to get a whole lot of pressure on him and kind of he kind of had a meltdown game in that one. There were seven turnovers from the Chargers offense. So that I think is going to be what it all comes down to, is not necessarily the player on player matchup, but more the scheme on scheme. And can Zimmer and Capers come up with a way to manufacture pressure when their number one pressure generator is still on IR?
Looking at the opposite side, this Vikings offense going against the Colts defense too is, over the last 6 weeks, I counting last year, the regular season, the last month in December, the secondary is really starting to fall apart. You're even adding in the former Viking Xavier Rhodes to replace Pierre Desir. They still allowed a historic performance in week one from Gardner Minshew, who really looked like Drew Brees out there, which we saw in December. He went 29-30 against his Colts defense. Minshew on Sunday went 19 of 20 for 190-plus yards. You have to imagine, Luke, that Kirk Cousins is licking his chops looking at the secondary.
Yeah, that I was really surprised to see looking at what Jacksonville was able to do to the secondary, because I was kind of high on him. I mean, I thought Xavier Rhodes could pull it together and at least, you know, play like a cornerback too. I liked Rock Ya-Sin coming out. I thought he would be something. Of course, I'm big on Kenny Moore. It seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, this matchup is going to be a little bit softer on the outside than it is on the inside. You know, I would much rather go up against Rhodes and Ya-Sin than like Kenny Moore and Darius Leonard on the inside, like Malik Hooker and stuff. So I think that's where it's going to come out. So what we're going to see is Adam Thielen, who can play inside or the slot, and I think that's going to change matchup to matchup. You're going to see a ton of Adam Thielen outside, deep routes, and it's going to be up to Rhodes and Ya-Sin to kind of cover him. But I think, like, the Vikings still really like to go deep. Gary Kubiak loves his, like, play-action deep shot. And you're going to have to keep up with Adam Thielen, or else that could get really explosive. That's going to be the way that they're going to try to generate explosive plays.
At this rushing attack, too, I love the duo that Minnesota has put together. Dalvin Cook, of course, signed his extension a couple weeks ago. You also have Alexander Mattison, the second-year pro out of Boise State, who I'm very high on as well. This, even though the Colts defense, they acquired DeForest Buckner, they kind of struggled a little bit against undrafted rookie James Robinson for Jacksonville last week in the first half. They kind of settled down later on in the game as Minshew got going too, which kind of just canceled each other out. But if the Vikings can establish a run against this team and really win that trench battle against DeForest Buckner, Justin Houston, et cetera, this could really be a high-scoring affair for this Vikings offense if they get it going.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be too worried about any defense with, like, Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner. And, like, I like the roster that you guys have over there. But Gary Kubiak, Dalvin Cook with a fresh new hot contract, and the run blocking, at least in week one, was actually one of the few bright spots, which is surprising because the offensive line has been kind of a bugaboo in Minnesota for a long time. But the run blocking was pretty nice, and they actually managed to be fairly efficient when they were able to run. Of course, game situation got away from them and it kind of didn't matter. But their actual ability to set up zone runs and actually get some production there seemed pretty nice. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Colts have to, like, stack the box a little bit and, you know, really suck everything up and inside, which would, again, create more vulnerability on the outside. And you're really going to have to ask a little bit more of your corners, I think, of your outside corners than Jacksonville made you ask of them.
Yeah, and also, just real quickly before we move on to some Colts talk, Lucas, of course, Darius Leonard is one of the best linebackers in the NFL, maybe a little bit slept on even still entering into his third year in the NFL. I think you can say the same as well if you're not familiar with the Vikings, with Eric Kendricks, who's one of the best linebackers in the NFL too. I think Kendricks and Leonard might be in the same tier as far as linebacker play goes. For Colts fans out there listening to this, Luke, can you just describe Eric Kendricks' level of play?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm not particularly, we'll talk about Darius Leonard because I'm not too familiar with his, like, style. I just know he's good. But yeah, Eric Kendricks he's an off-ball linebacker. He's a cover linebacker. But basically, a lot of the times, his job is if there's a combo block, the defensive tackle tries to hold off the combo block, and he figures out, and then his job is to, like, read the gap and kind of two-gap around it in a sense, like, kind of abstract way to describe it. But basically, yeah, if the combo block is held up and the defensive tackle doesn't let the guard get to the second level and block Eric Kendricks, then Kendricks can basically pick his gap and read the play and try to go get the running back, and he'll rack up a million tackles that way. But the other thing he's really good at, and this is, I think, one of the most fascinating parts of this matchup, is covering the flats. Both he and Anthony Barr are incredible at covering the flats. It's something that has been a strength of the Vikings for a long time, ever since Zimmer got here and brought Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks into the defense. And that means a lot of, you know, swing pass to the running back type stuff. It has not been successful against the Vikings. That's the kind of thing that they've been a lot better at defending than other teams. And I know that Phillip Rivers loves to throw to his running backs. Week one, the Colts, 17 passes to the running backs, including like one of the touchdowns to Nyheim Hines. That is going to be a really interesting thing. Kendricks is going to be asked to go sideline to sideline a lot. And he's one of the few linebackers that can do that and go sideline to sideline, stick with the flat and stop a swing pass from suddenly becoming, you know, a 20-yard scamper down the sideline.
Yeah, Kendricks is one of my favorite linebackers to watch in the NFL. And I think for AFC football watchers, like the Colts fans out there, they might not be too familiar with Eric Kendricks, but I think it's going to be very fun to watch that linebacker matchup between Leonard and Kendricks here on Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium here. But we're going to transition on into some Indianapolis Colts talk. Before we do so, I want to take a quick break for our sponsors. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game in full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You'll learn from the league's best players in over 40 film session episodes and get access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. All righty. We are back here for segment two of our crossover special today. Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings, Evan Sedry of Locked On Colts. Luke, I'll give you the floor here to discuss some Colts talk. And unfortunately, after a disappointing loss on Sunday, the Colts, like the Vikings, trying to scratch and claw back the 500.
Yeah, this is going to be – whoever leaves this game with a loss is going to really, really be reeling, and then it's going to be an uphill climb for the rest of the season just to make it into the postseason, let alone make any noise in January. So I guess my first question for the Colts comes down to Phillip Rivers. I'll be honest, I don't have a lot of faith in Phillip Rivers at this stage in his career. At the end of his time in Los Angeles, I kind of thought he was washed. I kind of thought he was going to retire at the end of the year, so it's surprising to see him kind of do this retirement tour year in Indianapolis. And I feel like a lot of that has manifested itself in a whole bunch of short passing to the running backs. And he loves throwing to his running backs. So is that like a staple of the offense, or is that just a lot of checkdowns? Is that the intention? Are we trying to be like a throw to Nyheim Hines, throw to Jonathan Taylor screen type of offense? Or is that just kind of what Phillip Rivers is doing? And is it, I mean, is that hamstringing you guys, or is that like the plan?
I think it certainly seems like the plan, honestly. When Frank Reich spoke earlier this week, they mentioned that their screen game is one of their strongest parts of the offense. And you look at their stats from week one, Rivers threw to running back 17 times on that. Almost half of their attempts were to running backs that were completed, which goes to show you how much he loves this running back group. Unfortunately, Marlon Mack tore his Achilles in week one. He's out for the rest of the season. But now Jonathan Taylor, the high second-round rookie from Wisconsin, now takes that bell cow role. Nyheim Hines will step in as that third-down scat back, playing that Danny Woodhead, Austin Eckler type role. I think moving forward here, it's going to be a bread and butter staple with Rivers at quarterback. You're going to see a lot of screenplay for Nyheim Hines, even more so for Jonathan Taylor too, who even had six catches in the second half in week one. And I imagine it might be even around that number each week for Taylor, because he's going to be getting a lot of line share snaps outside of Hines on third down. Yeah, I think moving forward here with this offensive line, you see how Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Anthony Costanzo, the rest of the offensive line, they're able to move well in space. We saw a lot of very good screen attempts. Jonathan Taylor busted off a 36-yard screen early on in the second half against this Jaguars team. I have to wonder if history will repeat itself this week in Lucas Oil Stadium, because, like Reich said, it's going to be one of their staples of the offense. And Rivers, as we know throughout his career in San Diego and Los Angeles, loves utilizing those running backs. And I imagine Hines and Taylor are primed for a big week in the passing game again and throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting like DFS play for those two guys. Elsewhere in the skill positions, I mean, there's not much question about the Colts offensive line. That's going to be really, really difficult to generate any pressure. And everybody's very familiar with Phillip Rivers because he's been in the league for a million years. But the wide receivers, I think, are the like one of the more interesting unknowns, at least for me, being somebody not that familiar with the Colts. Paris Campbell, I mean, we kind of know T.Y. Hilton, but like he didn't play. I thought he was mostly a slot guy, or preferably a slot guy. But y'all put Paris Campbell in the slot. And then, of course, like Michael Pittman coming in, Zach Pascal, I thought looked really nice on tape, although he didn't quite have the production to match. So when it comes to this wide receiver group, if you were a defensive coordinator preparing for the Colts, is T.Y. Hilton the guy you're like still the most scared of? And who else is worth like really game planning around?
I would say T.Y. is probably still the number one option, at least I would say that for the next couple of weeks, because he was kind of shut down a little bit by CJ Henderson, the Jaguars' top pick in week one. Henderson kind of had his way against T.Y., and hopefully moving forward here, T.Y. is able to bounce back, because we heard a lot in the preseason, at least in the training camp area, that Rivers and Hilton were building a really good rapport, that Hilton was really having a great training camp as well. But I think, honestly, moving forward here, I would buy a lot of stock on Paris Campbell, who, like you mentioned, is our slot receiver. You see Michael Pittman Jr. on the outside too, Zach Pascal as well. They share that load opposite T.Y. Hilton on the outside. But I think Paris Campbell is such a mismatch in the slot. 4.31 speed at 6 feet tall. We saw a lot of targets for Paris Campbell in week one, 8 targets. He caught 6 of those. And one of those was an interception that Rivers threw in a double coverage to try to get Paris Campbell the ball. He's such a great player on crossing routes, on those deep posts. They barely missed a touchdown as well in week one. Rivers got hit before he could throw it, and Campbell was kind of racing into the end zone ahead of the defensive back there. And it really could have been an easy score for Campbell if that ball was placed in the right area. I think moving forward here, Paris Campbell could be the leading reception getter for the Colts this year, even more so than T.Y. Hilton, because Campbell's already proven with his high catch rate, even last year, even though he battled a lot of injuries, that he is a very reliable target. He's a security blanket. I think we already saw in week one that Campbell and Naheem Hines are kind of turning into that already for Phillip Rivers, as those really athletic guys can get out in space and create extra yards after catch. I think Paris Campbell moving forward here could turn to the Colts' number one option, but I think T.Y. Hilton any sort of week could bust out when he wants to.
Yeah, that makes sense. And honestly, Campbell is the one that I think matches up best against the Vikings, just because they have right now Mike Hughes in the slot. Hughes might move outside. We might have Gladney in the slot because rookie Cameron Dantzler is on the injury report. That's something to watch. So I think Campbell coming out of the slot is something that I think the Vikings are going to have to like get creative about how they plan for that. But I want to switch to the other side of the ball, because the Colts defensive roster has always been fascinating to me. Of course, you know, there's the secondary, and Vikings fans, we are very familiar with Xavier Rhodes and his strengths and weaknesses. But the defensive line, I kind of want to talk about. There's no Kamoko Ture this year, but you still have DeForest Buckner, and you know, you still have a couple of guys along that defensive line that can generate pressure. And the Vikings have never been that good at offensive line. The line did okay against the Packers, but there's still plenty of weak spots, especially on the interior. But you said that DeForest Buckner didn't have the best game against Jacksonville. So I guess, do we still expect him to be like as disruptive as he was for San Francisco?
I still expect so. Hopefully it was just a bad week for Buckner where he couldn't generate consistent pressure, probably still getting used to the defense with a shortened training camp. He also sat out a few practices during training camp due to a hand injury, so hopefully just him catching up to speed a little bit. We saw Buckner get a couple good pressures. I think he had 4 tackles in the game, 1 tackle for loss as well. He flashed here and there, but it wasn't consistent. Hopefully moving forward, it's a lot more consistent because the Colts are paying him like an all-pro defensive tackle in the league, which he was last year in San Francisco. But I think, like you mentioned, Buckner should be in for a huge week against his Vikings offensive interior because he matches up perfectly against them. I think I remember the last time the 49ers played the Vikings, Buckner had a field day against them, and that could be ripe for doing a repeat here in Indianapolis, because whether it be Buckner or it be Justin Houston on the outside, who had 2 sacks on Sunday, Danico Autry as well had a sack too. I think those two players could be primed for it if Buckner doesn't break out. Autry, who had a couple sacks, Houston is always poised for a huge game as well on the outside. They could really bring some pressure. And if Buckner's able to get that interior pressure consistently, I think they're going to consistently win that trench battle in the front against defensive line versus offensive line. And that could really be a bad sort of trend for Kirk Cousins if they want to get going and catch that rhythm, because if Buckner does get going early on, Luke, it could be a long day for the Vikings.
Yeah, I feel like both teams are kind of primed to hold a lead if they get one, and so whoever kind of gets out the gate quickly, it's going to be difficult to like stem that tide. But let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is Xavier Rhodes and Adam Thielen. Of course, I have watched Adam Thielen beat the crap out of Xavier Rhodes in camp a whole bunch. I've watched Diggs do it too, although he's not here anymore. But I guess, do you still feel like you have something in Xavier Rhodes? We are all very like sensitive about it. So seeing him get beat once for that one touchdown or give up a couple of catches, we're like, aha, we knew it. See, he's trash. But for you guys, I feel like it's a different perspective. What are the expectations you have for Xavier Rhodes this year? Is it that he can be, I mean, he didn't shadow against Jacksonville. He played sides. So it's not that he's going to be the shadowing number one corner, but is he the number one corner? Is he just the right one? Rakusin's the left one. And I guess, how does that characterize the secondary?
I think the expectation was this year was for Rhodes to kind of step into that Pierre Desir role we saw last year, be the veteran leader of that cornerback group, take on the primary assignment when need be. We also saw Rakusin kind of share that load a little bit last year when Desir was injured. But very worrisome signs for the Colts defense, I imagine, seeing Xavier Rhodes on Sunday. He looked like you mentioned, Luke, last year in Minnesota getting torched consistently. He It was not a good look for Rhodes, whether it be Keelan Cole, LaVisca Chenault. It wasn't a great day for Xavier Rhodes. He allowed that touchdown late. The game leading touchdown for the Jaguars. Minshew hit Keelan Cole wide open in the end zone on a busted coverage from Xavier Rhodes. Hopefully, like Buckner, just getting some rust off, just a new system he's trying to get acclimated to. But not a good sign in week one for Rhodes. And if this continues against Minnesota, this continues another couple weeks here, the Colts might be in trouble as far as cornerbacks go, because Marvell Tell, he opted out of the season before it started due to COVID-19 concerns. Of course, Kenny Moore is your nickel corner, one of the more underrated ones in the NFL. But that puts a lot of pressure on Rocky Assen to really be a legit number one corner, and he hasn't been consistent enough to be that just yet. So if Rhodes keeps struggling, Luke, I could see the Colts maybe making a midseason trade for a corner, because it could be really desperation time if Rhodes kind of shows what he was in 2019 that continues in the 2020 for this Colts team, because they put a lot of expectations on Rhodes that if he got into the zone system, reunited with Jonathan Gannon, his former coach in Minnesota, he could kind of maybe get back to that form a little bit. But so far, it hasn't been a good result. And against Adam Thielen on Sunday, if he's matched up primarily against him, I think it could be really rough sailing for Xavier Rhodes against Adam Thielen.
Colts fans, rockauto.com is the place to go if you want to save money on your next car purchase, whether it be getting a new fuel pump assembly, new tires, an oil change. Rock Auto is the place to go to save you countless amounts of money compared to the competition. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate as well. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specification, and price you prefer. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same professionals as do-it-yourselfers. So why spend twice as much money if we can get the same parts for even cheaper at Rock Auto? Go to rockauto.com right now and see the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd Your Boss box and they'll be sent you. They have a main selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Write Locked On once more, LOCKEDON, in the How'd Your Boss box, so you know rockauto.com and Locked On Colts sent you over there.
Yeah, and if you play sides again, if the Colts play sides again and just stick Rhodes on the right and just say, you know, whoever you put out there is who you put out there, the Vikings would have the option to have Thielen versus Rhodes as much as they want, or against Justin as much as they want. Could even move him into the slot, but I doubt they do that because it feels like that's where the secondary is the strongest, though that'll be Kenny Moore will probably get a lot of rookie snaps against Justin Jefferson. But hey, let's move on to some predictions. The way I like to do it is using the betting lines, but if you want to do scores, we could do that as well.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at DraftKings right now, looking at the over-under and the point spread. The Colts are favored -3, pretty much a pick 'em on the road for Minnesota and Indianapolis. Over-under as well as 48.5, Luke. Before we get into our prediction, who do you think covers that? Do you think the Vikings cover that +3 spread, and do you think it gets over-under of that? Because honestly, I think we're in for a shootout here.
Yeah, I like the idea of a shootout. Yeah, I would probably take the over. I didn't bet it. I did bet Vikings +3 just because I feel like Vegas is still overvaluing home field advantage in a season with no fans. So I actually bet Vikings +3. I do think that they can at least cover the spread. But I feel really good actually about the Vikings in this matchup. I think a team that likes to throw to its running backs as a key part of its offense, the Vikings match up really, really well against that because of their linebackers, and a team that like feels like it's going to try to leverage the linebackers more than it leverages the cornerbacks plays right into the Vikings' hands. So I feel pretty good about the Vikings in this one in the way that they match up. But I think overall quality, the two teams are really close. So the other thing is it's a Phillip Rivers game, and Phillip Rivers games tend to devolve into chaos. So I always just take the points.
Yeah, that's not – I would definitely go with you on that. I would definitely go over here. I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch on Sunday, whether it be the Vikings or the Colts winning. I'm going to go with the Colts winning just barely. I'm going 30-27. Luke, I'm going to go a little spicy here and say overtime that the Colts win in overtime 30-27. I think it's going to be very close throughout. I mean, Dalvin Cook and the Vikings offense are going to be cooking throughout as well. But I'm really I think the X factor for the Colts side of things, of course, Phillip Rivers will try to get going against this young secondary. But I think Jonathan Taylor – in his first career NFL start, if they can establish the run early and kind of dominate the trenches, this Colts offensive line versus the Vikings defensive line, I could really see the Colts trying to bleed the clock a little bit and really have a nice balance between rush and pass, because we saw last week that against the Jaguars, Rivers threw 46 times and they only ran it 24 times. That type of balance will not give you much wins in the NFL with Rivers at quarterback. So I think Jonathan Taylor's poised for a big game if they're able to establish that run early. So I'm going to go the Colts barely cover it, -3 spread. I'm going to go 30-27, Luke. The Colts win with a Rodrigo Hot Rod Blankenship field goal in overtime.
Ooh, redemption for the kid. I like it. So we both picked our own teams. That's the way God intended.
I guess so. I think really honestly, Luke, either way, this is a pick'em game for me.
Yeah, it's a close one and not in a particularly encouraging way for either of our teams. But hey, Evan, thank you so much for hanging out, doing this crossover.
Yeah, absolutely, Luke. Always enjoy talking with you. I'm looking forward to watching the game on Sunday.
Best of luck.